that means. What it means is, you know, get to work, because you know that God is at work. So therefore, join him in his work and participate in it and experience the meaning and the joy that comes when God is working through you. So it's not meant to paralyze you. What it's meant to do is lower your anxiety. Well, this will never work. This is impossible. This is impossible. So not to be too personal here, but just looking at Tom and Judy Coombs this morning, I'm going, oh my gosh, Father in heaven, cancer, be gone. Be gone. In the name of Jesus Christ, cancer, be gone. I'd like that to happen right now. Amen, yes. But will it? I don't know. I'm not anxious about it. I want it. I pray for it. But God intends to lower our anxiety. It gives you confidence to actually pray, because the living God, that Lord, is God. He's in charge. And then secondly, that Lord is good. And so he intends goodness for us all the days of our life. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones said in 1965, our largest problem has to do with we listen to ourselves rather than talk to ourselves. We're listening, we should be talking. Paul Tripp, he's a Philly boy, conference speaker, and he says the most influential person in your life is you. Because no one talks to you more than you. It's true, right? Tim Keller, 2 weeks ago, tweeted, the most damaging things that we hear are the damaging things we say to ourselves. So I've just been working on this, working on what is it that my soul is saying to me, and trying to turn that around to what can I say in Jesus' name to my soul. That's what has me at Psalm 103. So here it goes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He is addressing his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle, or as a Philadelphian would say, like the eagle. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. This word bless means to give expression of thankfulness with some affection and gladness and wonder all rolled in. One of the root words behind bless is kneel. There's an honoring. I talked to Don Munson last night, and you know, he was reminding me that Dave, his son, had passed July 30th, this past Monday. And on this day, a year ago, many of you were at the funeral home. And bless the Lord, oh my soul. And so there is another anniversary from July 30th. And it's Johnny Erickson Tata. And in 1967, Chesapeake Bay, she dove into water that had some rocks at the bottom that she was unaware of. She fractured two vertebrae, the fourth and fifth, and it left her a quadriplegic. This past Monday, July 30th, is the 51st year of her being wheelchair bound. Now, I grew up with that story. I was a junior in college in 1967. I remember how powerful that was, and for 2 years how much she struggled, and then somehow got a hold of the Lord is God and the Lord is good, and began, as many of you know, I mean, she's written 45 books. She has a ministry that makes a huge difference in the world among the disabled, a conference speaker, a phenomenal lady. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So on the 50th anniversary, Christianity Today put an article out about her, and there was a line that caught my attention, and here's what she said. She said, the first thing I plan to do, listen, the first thing I plan to do on my resurrected legs is to drop on grateful, glorified knees and bless the Lord. Wow. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. When I have difficulty sleeping at night, and I am having difficulty sleeping at night, I don't know how you're doing, I run through the alphabet and try to attach an adjective that describes the Lord as a way of blessing the Lord and telling my soul and all that is within me, you know, mind and emotions and will and all that is within me, whatever it is, bless his holy name. I just run through the alphabet. Let's just try this. Can you give me an adjective that starts with the letter A that would describe our Heavenly Father?
Amazing.
Another?
Adorable.
Adorable? What did you say?
Awesome.
Awesome. Can you give me B?
Beautiful.
What was the other one?
Brave.
What was that?
Bountiful.
Thank you. Letter C? Compassionate, caring,
comforting.
Letter D,
delightful,
dependable. We sang it up here. He is the defender. Yeah. If you're wondering what happens when I get to X, I'm usually asleep. But the soul needs to be spoken to. It needs to be addressed. I like to think of it as it's a combination of personal trainer, it's a combination of doctor, and it's a combination of your mother. Just addressing your soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. The name is an other name. It belongs elsewhere. It's not like our name. God is to be known. He's to be known personally. He has, and it's interesting to me that God knows us personally, but he wants us to know him personally. I'm pausing here because this is, I just hate to tell you this. So I've been in the hospital 3 different times in these last 4 months. And you, those of you who've been there, you know that there you see a myriad of people who ask the very same question. And Ann always says to me, boy, if you are not alert, be sure you have somebody with you because, oh my gosh, the stuff that can happen to you. So I got great care, by the way. And anyway, I had pitched to me a softball question, slow pitch. So a guy walks into the room with a clipboard, and here's the question he asked me. Do you have any spiritual beliefs?
Oh,
So here's what I came up with. I said, what? He said, do you have any spiritual beliefs that would impact our care for you? I said, I believe in heaven, and I'd like this procedure not to get me there. I'm embarrassed. I mean, it's funny now, but I'm embarrassed that I could not say the name of Jesus. And my soul let me down. And So, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Name the name of Jesus. Back in the late 60s, I wrote two songs. And there was an elderly gentleman, just a nice, godly guy. I'm actually probably older than he was now. But anyway, he seemed like a nice guy. He saw what I was doing, and we were in Mississippi. And it was Margie's father. And he said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm writing a song. And what's it about? Jesus, I said. He said, oh, he said, could I see the lyrics? I said, sure. There once was a man a long time ago, standing all alone against the status quo. He worked with his hands. He grew tall and strong. He worked with his mind, knowing right from wrong. He was sure of his mission. He spoke loud and clear. He got every eye. He got every ear. So he listens to me, and he said, who's the song about? I said, Jesus. He said, you never say his name. Wow. No, I haven't. I'm a little too cool for that. This is a very hip and happening song. You play it with a guitar. So go say the name of Jesus. Now, this is the late 60s. Before Maranatha music broke out on the scene, and I was trying to be a little edgy and, you know, seeker sensitive and all that. And I have learned, am learning, that I need to speak to my soul, say the name, say it, say the name of Jesus. Most people will like to go with heaven and thoughts and prayers and God even, but you say Jesus and you strike a dividing line. And that is what we are to do. Say the name of Jesus. Now he says it again. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, all that is within me, forget none of his benefits. Now, that's where these notes begin. He actually names five benefits here. And so I want to look at that verse 2. So here are your blanks there for that number 1 statement. All your days are covered by all these benefits. All your days are covered by all these benefits. We got a 6-pack of verbs here. I put it in parentheses there, PHR CSR. Can you say that with me? PHR CSR. Say it again. PHR CSR. All right, now look. 3. He pardons, he heals, he redeems. PHR. He pardons, he heals, he redeems. Can you say that with me? He pardons, he redeems. And CSR. He crowns, he satisfies, he renews. He crowns, he satisfies, he renews. PHR, CSR. Forget none of his benefits. Now, these are just 6. There are more. But I need to address my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget none of his benefits. How do you know you're forgetting his benefits? Well, you're not blessing the Lord. If your soul is not blessing the Lord, then you've forgotten his benefits. The 6 benefits, PHR, CSR. He pardons all iniquities. I mean, it's a stunning thing to me. Every one of these verbs, pardons, heals, redeems, crowns, satisfies, renews, all of these verbs are in the present tense. They are active now. All of them, they're active now. Now, if you're thinking about that a little bit, wait a minute. Here's how I like to think about it. From the viewpoint of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, if I were to say, when did Jesus redeem me? When did I get redeemed? What would God the Father say? He would say, oh, before the foundation of the world. I had your name before the foundation of the world. I'm going to say it again. I had your name before the foundation of the world. If you ask Jesus, when was Phil Ackley redeemed? What would he say? Well, about 2,000 years ago. I accomplished that mission on the cross. I finished by saying, it is finished. Now, I get what this song is saying up here, that Jesus is going to the Father and say, hey, would you let that sin go because, you know, I covered it. Well, actually, it's a done deal. It was a done deal 2,000 years ago from Jesus' perspective. If you were to ask the Holy Spirit, when was I redeemed? He would say, oh, that was December 30th, 1965. He was at a Literature Crusades conference. That's what they called it back then. Over Christmas, December 30th. And I got him. I applied that salvation message to him. He came to full faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you would ask them right now, all three of you, what do you think? I'd say, that boy needs redemption right now. He needs redeeming in this moment. And we're all over it. We're taking care of it. So there is a past, there is a present, and there is a future to every one of these benefits. And so when I'm thinking about forgiveness, I ask God for, there are some who teach, you don't need to ask God for forgiveness, just confess it, because the forgiveness was already won. Well, I ask forgiveness. Now, I saw Robert Morris do this one time. Don Munson's not here this morning, so we'll use Don as an example. Don still thinks in terms of file cabinets. Those of us that are hip and happening, we think a digital version better, more. But he thinks in file cabinets. And so let's just picture heaven, and there's all these file cabinets up here, and one of the drawers belongs to Don Munson. And in it, in that file drawer, are all of Don's sins. And so when Don sins a lot, so when Don sins, he asks God for forgiveness. And so here's what he may picture. God's up in heaven, and he gets the right file cabinet, then he gets the right drawer, then he pulls that drawer out. Now, this is Don. So if Don were here, I would still do this. All right? Then God goes through and fishing through. Which one of these sins is God confessing for? Ah, here it is. Pulls the file folder out, rips it, tosses it out. Now, by the way, I used to think like that. There is no file cabinet drawer with your sin in it in heaven. None. Later in the psalm, it says, all these sins have been cast away as far as the east is from the west, that they're buried in the deepest sea. You know all of this. And when you realize, gosh, you mean the whole drawer is, yes, the whole drawer is gone. And then it's meant to provoke in you, in me, a greater love. When, wow, this is just terrific. And to share the forgiveness. I have a habit at home that when I am reaching for something in the kitchen drawer, I just hit it with my hip. We don't have one of those fancy drawers that, you know, when it gets close, it automatically closes. I mean, you got to push this thing all the way in. Well, there's a granite counter overhang, so when I hit it, you know, it only goes as far as that counter. Well, that's good enough. And so I walk away because the TV screen is waiting for me and wants to see me. And so with whatever I'm carrying in there, and Anne, who has some compulsions, not sins, but she has some compulsions, she likes the drawers shut all the way. Because when I make my sandwich or whatever, the crumbs fall in the drawer where all those, you know, the flatware and silverware is, and you know, there's peanut butter and jelly crumbs, there's all this stuff that whatever it is I've made. So I'm walking in there, and so she's following me. And here's what she says. You didn't shut the drawers. Oh, I'm in there watching the screen. And then she says, you're adorable. Did you hear that? You're adorable. What would ever make her say that? Well, she's been forgiven. She's been forgiven a lot. And so she loves a lot. So you're adorable. I had my daughter and her husband live with us from September to December last year where they were waiting to, they'd sold the house, they're waiting to get into their house. They have a three-year-old son, Harvest, and yeah, that was work, folks. That was just work. And wait, are they eating with us or aren't they eating with us? Wait, you're in the shower now. I can't run the dishwasher. Wait, is your stuff still in the washer? And oh, man, 4 months. Christmas time, Carmel, the one that lived with me, she gave me this cup. It's blue on the inside, blue handle. I went, oh, a coffee cup. And I had opened it the way you're looking at it. On this side, can you see that? It says 70 times 7. Yeah, do you get that? Yeah. And I thought, oh, here I was keeping a tally of all this stuff. And she's hoping I was doing this. Which I very quickly did. Got the drawer open. God, would you pick those all out? And so, number two, by the way, if you're thinking I'm not going to get done, you are exactly right. number two, come to the conclusion that the worst sinner you know is, can you finish it? You, as you. Come to the conclusion that the worst sinner you know is you. There is no you owe me, O-W-E. Number three, he heals all your diseases. Believe in divine healing. Because that's the only kind there is. Now, I took some Tylenol this morning. I'm trying to eat less meat. I've had some surgery. All of those are through the divine, the great physician. That any progress I'm making, I credit God. I'm glad for doctors. I'm glad for medications that work. I'm glad for health insurance. But divine healing, it's... I think the major reference here for those that are struggling in a current physical ailment is the soul's diseases. Spurgeon says that the diseases of the soul are the worst because they're the only ones that can drag you to hell. The others, it's just the body. But the soul's disease, now that drags you to hell. Can you name me some soul diseases that start with dis, D-I-S, dis-ease? Can you name me some? Dis, say it again.
Discouragement.
Good. Another, dis. Say it again.
Disappointed.
There are appointments, now I'm disappointed. I've thought about this, so I've got about 40 of them. This what? Dis, okay. What was the other one here? This. Yeah, so I've got, yes, despair, discontent, disconnect, disintegration, yeah. And God is forever at healing those soul diseases. Here's number four, the living God. He says he redeems your life from the pit. So the living God keeps you from death and through death. We were on our way to Chicago. We were on I-80. We had crossed the border into Indiana. It had been raining. And as we came around the bend, the curve of the road banked up. I was in the middle lane, but the center lane, the lane to the left, it had a guardrail there and all. It had filled with water, carrying water there, big pool of water. I turned to Ann and said, there is an accident waiting to happen. Behind me were my firstborn daughter and son and four grandkids. And they were in that lane. And they hit it. And they had a serious car accident. And so I'm still on my way. I get a phone call. Hey, Chris and Beth have been in a car accident. Where are you? So, well, I'm on IE. And they said, well, this is where it was. I said, I just passed that. So I got off, turned around, and went back. Listen, you come up on that side, and you see all emergency vehicles and fire engines and so on, and you know it's your son and daughter and four grandkids in there. Wow. He redeems a life from the pit. And so we circled around, came around, and the only serious injury was actually my daughter's. She shattered the humerus, this bone right here, in 7 pieces. Need to have surgery on it. Today, if she were in here, she wears tablets. She's a CrossFit nut. She's in gorgeous shape. And I had said when she was growing up, you know, it was like 30 years old, I was thrown around. And then when I was 40, I was thrown around. She said, how long do you think you're going to be able to do this? I said, forever. She said, wait, when I'm 30, you'll be 60. I know. I'll be able to pick you up, though. And when I'm 40, you'll be 70. I'll be able to pick you up. Well, that one she called me on, called my bluff. They threw a party for her. She pulled me forward. Oh, Dad, lift me up. So I put her on a chair to start. I'm no dummy. Wrapped myself around her and was praising God that she was a vegan. She got a skinny little body, and she works like crazy. And I picked her over, maybe about a nanosecond, dropped her. But I did it. Anyway, so I'm saying that to you because she wears a lot of sleeveless. Might as well show off those arms. And so she has a big old scar right here. But in Hebrew, going down that scar is Psalm 66:5, which says, come see what God has done. Come see what God has done. She's talked to more people about Jesus through that scar. And her life, she was kept from death that day. There's an irony here that the way God delivers us into his presence, finally, is that we have to die. That's how it happens. Now, there's a Snoopy cartoon that says Charlie Brown is in great despair, big black cloud over him. One day, I'm going to die. And Snoopy is next to him, turn towards him and says, yeah, but on all the other days, you won't. There's only one day you're going to die. All the other days? Come on, live, enjoy. Number five, there is no bigger dream than the one God has for you, to make you like Jesus. God loves you like he loves Jesus. And that's, he crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. We have a lady at our church, Sharon Buttry, who feels so loved by God that she will say to you with a wink in her eye, God loves me. I am his favorite. And then, you know, you got to get into it. Well, I may not be his favorite, but then a wink again. I am his favorite. I am. That's how thoroughly it's in her bone that God loves her. And number six, God shows up to your prison with two things in hand. He satisfies you with good things all your life. God shows up to your prison with two things in hand, a declaration of pardon and, can you get this? Adoption papers. Now, my son and daughter have adopted this guy, Harvey. Is that going to work or no? All right, we'll give it a shot. This is a 15-second clip I'm mostly showing off here of my grandson, Harvest Steady Aiden McCarthy.
Keep walking.
Well, maybe not. I wanted to show it to you because this kid is 3 years old. He has never been in a pool or he's been in over his head. And he's in over his head. And the way he is in... Sounds like we have sound but no picture. The way he's got water wigs on, Anne Lamott says water wings are the grace of God. That's how she describes. So that they make him float. And his energy and joy in knowing he's over his head, but he's swimming like a fish. And there was something about that image, aside from the fact that he's my grandson, that just, I thought, captured this satisfying. Here's the last one. The result of remembering these benefits is a renewed strength to bless God. You are always young in God's presence. Will you be able to fish up the Matt Redwin one? Matt Redwin, in 2015, three summers ago, as part of the Luis Palau Festival in New York City, there are thousands in New York Times Square, and he leads them in his song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. I thought we could finish with that. And if not, no? Okay. Well, then we'll just finish the prayer. So let's pray together. By the way, I don't know where you are in the realities of experiencing these realities of PHR, CSR. But God pardons and he heals and he redeems, that he crowns and satisfies you. I don't know what your experience is. Here's what I can say to you by the authority of the living God, by the work of Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. He means you to. He means you to. He means you to experience them in this day at 12:15. A friend of mine likes to say the mercies of God are not just new in the morning. They're mercy at 12:15 too. New mercies at 12:15. And at 3 o'clock this afternoon, it's all day long. May God give you new mercy to hear his benefits for you. Father, we bless you. We bless the Lord. Souls, we muster them together. We bless the Lord together. We bless his holy name. We bless the Lord and we forget none of his benefits. who pardons our iniquity, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies our years with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. We bless the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing conference in Nashville. Mm-hmm. We went last year. That was their first big one. We're going again this year. She was there. Tripp was there too.
Wow.
Tripp's like my guy. Oh. That guy's.
Well, he's got that monstrous mustache. Oh my God, she kind of like that.
But that New Morning Mercy is what a book.
Yes. Yeah.
So.